Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And this is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and so I invite you to hear these words. Therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies in the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his splendor, wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, won't God do much more for you, you people of weak faith? Therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what are we going to wear? Gentiles long for all of these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning we're going to be continuing our sermon series as we're taking some time during the end of the summer to look at some of the popular movies created by the animation studio Pixar. As we've looked at movies over the past 3 weeks, I have been reminded, and I hope you have seen ways that secular movies can help us to see or at least illustrate an idea of the biblical truth that we receive from the Gospels and from the Scriptures. Now, I'm not saying that the movies intentionally intend to do that, but what they do is give us a vision or a visual that we can look at and think about as we think about what it means to be a follower of God and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ living in the world today. And so this morning we're going to be looking at one of the popular films from the Toy Story series, Toy Story 3. However, before we begin looking at the movie, I want to share with you something that I came across as I was doing preparation for this sermon. I read it in another article, and so I started Googling it myself. And it was looking at how much of an element is in a typical human body. And what I say, I mean elements, I mean, you know, the basics: oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen. And so if we were to break down our physical body into the different elements that an average body is comprised of, what would that be worth? I have to say, I was a little surprised. If you Google this, plan on spending some time reading, because there's lots of scientists that have written their assessment of what they believe the elements in the human body are worth. And so the average person, you can see it's oxygen, it's carbon, it's hydrogen, it's nitrogen, it's calcium, it's phosphorus, it's potassium. And then there's a number of other elements, a huge list actually, that there are trace amounts. So amounts really that if you're going to try and add it up into how much you're worth, they really don't count for anything. And so one study I was reading said that the human body has enough carbon in it to make over 9,000 pencil leads, or 54,000 match heads out of the phosphorus. We don't really use matches anymore, do we? That's not a really good reference. But anyway, or probably not as often as we used to. Or there's enough sugar in your body to make 6 sugar cubes. I know some of you might be saying, my body would make way more than 6 sugar cubes, right? So the grand total, depending on what website you're reading and thinking about, whatever scientist it is that, you know, has done his or her own assessment, is they say the elements in your body are currently worth around $8.50 or $160. That's a pretty big range, but it means that we're somewhere between there. And so maybe there's times that you and I have felt that we're worth $8.50 or $160 or a whole lot more than that. And maybe there are times we felt like we're not even worth that. When we didn't seem to fit in, when things just weren't measuring up and lining up the way you and I thought that they needed to. And we can have everything that the world says we need, Yet what we realize and what we know, and all of us know this and experience this, because this is part of our condition as being humans, is that even as the world can look at us and see what we have and can give the impression or the idea that we have everything, we all know that sometimes inside we just don't. So everything may look right on the outside and everything may be coming together and appear, you know, orderly and it. But we know that sometimes our outside and the things we have and the setting that we've surrounded ourselves with sometimes doesn't line up with how we really feel inside. And so we ask the question, what does it mean for me to be human? What does it mean for me to be here? What is my purpose? And then as followers of Jesus Christ, we ask ourselves the question, what does it mean for me to be a person living in response to God's grace and the sacrifice that God has made on my behalf through his son, Jesus Christ? And so that's basically the question that I believe we receive and we think about when we watch the Toy Story 3 movie. Now in that question, they're asking a different phrase, and it's, what does it mean for me to be fully a toy? But I think we can ask it in our own right and say, what does it mean for me to be fully human? What does it mean for me to be a person who lives in response to God's grace and who lives in relationship to the people that God has placed me around and with? And so this movie can help us to think about our hopes and our dreams and our fears and our anxieties and our questions that we all at some point face when we ask who we are and whom we belong to. And so I have a quick summary of the movie, and then of course I went and was watching part of the movie last night and saw there were other parts that I missed. So if there are those of you who know this movie really well and I skipped something, I'm sorry. So there's a group of toys. They're all owned by this boy, Andy. There's a picture of a bunch of them right there. Whenever Andy is not present in the room, the toys come to life. And so there's Woody the sheriff and Buzz Lightyear, who's the spaceman, and Jessie a cowgirl, and Rex a dinosaur, and Ham a piggy bank, and Slinky Dog, and Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, and Bullseye a horse, and all of the army men, which aren't on that picture, and Barbie, and you know, all of the toys that you and I can think of. And so in this morning's movie, Andy has gotten older, and he's starting to go to college. And so he's starting to clean out his bedroom, and he's sorting out his toys between those things that need to be stored in the attic and those things that need to be, you know, gotten rid of and donated. And so his mom accidentally takes the box that he had set aside to go to the attic, and it's put in with the box that's going to Sunnyside Daycare Center to be donated. And so at Sunnyside, the toys arrive, and they're initially pleased that they're going to be played with every day by children because Andy's gotten older, and so their identity, they're questioning their identity. What does it mean to be a toy? Does it mean to be a toy that, you know, supposed to be played with, aren't you? And so some of them think that this is going to be an ideal situation because they're not just going to have one child playing with them, but there's going to be many. But then they begin to see the realities of the harsh treatment of daycare with lots of little hands playing with toys. They meet a bear named Lotso, who's a purple bear that you'll see on the next slide, and he has all the other toys convinced that they have no meaning. They don't have any value. And so they're all feeling what it means to be unloved, what it means to be not of value, as they question why they're there and what they're doing at Sunnyside Daycare. And so they're all pretty much in the dumps, and Woody decides that he's going home because he sees on the bottom of his foot, he remembers that Andy has written his name under there. You know, our toys always said JDA because my brother's initials are the same as mine. So if you look at all our G.I. Joes, I'm sure they still say JDA, and I'm sure my mom still has them in the garage somewhere. I'm positive she has them in the garage somewhere. But anyway, so he remembers that he belongs to Andy and then he needs to get home and that his identity is found in who he's with. And so Woody escapes, and then later, the other toys begin this escape to go home, even as Lotso and the other toys attempt to keep him at home. And so our next slide is our movie clip, and actually there's two clips within it. And so you're going to notice one portion, it's Woody, and then he's in this little girl Bonnie's room. And then the following clip is, it skips apart, and then it's Woody talking to the other toys in Bonnie's room. It's continued. So if you'd go ahead, please.
Can you tell me where I am?
Shh. The guy's just asking a question.
Well, excuse me. I'm trying to stay in character.
My name's Buttercup. You've met Baron von Schush.
Hello, I'm Trixie.
Shh. Guys, hey, guys, look, I don't know where I am.
We're either in a cafe in Paris or a coffee shop in New Jersey. I'm pretty sure I just came back from the doctor with life-changing news.
We do a lot of improv here. Just stay loose, have fun, you'll be fine.
No, I...
Who wants lunch? Beep boop, beep boop. Have a secret ingredient, jelly beans.
Somebody's poisoned the water hole.
Poison?
Yeah. Who would do such a mean thing?
Ah, the scary witch! Look out!
She's using her witchy powers.
I know where to hide.
You'll never find us in here.
What's wrong?
Great.
Are you classically trained? Look, I just need to know how to get out of here.
There is no way out. Just kidding. Door's right over there.
Well, cowboy, you just jumped right in, didn't you? I'm Dolly.
Woody.
Woody, really? You're going to stick with that? Because now's your chance to change it. New room and all. That's coming from a doll named Dolly.
Who's the new guy?
Are you a real cowboy?
Well, actually...
Of course he's not. Pea brain, you don't even have a hat.
I do too have... My hat!
Told ya.
I found a spaceship!
Showtime!
Quick, get in! Fasten your seatbelt! Clothe your tray table! Hold on! Might get a little bumpy! Three!
Get out of here.
You're leaving?
But didn't you have fun today?
Oh, of course I did. More than I've had in years. But you see, I belong to someone else.
Who's Yidna?
I believe it's pronounced Yidne.
Guys, it says Andy.
He's my Bonnie. And he's leaving soon. I gotta get home.
Where's home?
Elm Street, 234 Elm. You guys have a map?
We're on it, cowboy.
So now you can go home and watch the rest of Toy Story 3. So the scripture that I think this passage or this video reminds me of and then also gets me thinking about in addition to our scripture is in the book of Genesis. We're reminded how God has claimed each of us for his own. When we are reminded that each of us are created in the image of God, we're reminded that we are created to be in relationship with God and that God has stamped his name on each of our lives. We're reminded that God continued that action through his son Jesus Christ as he stamped his name upon us by sending Jesus to offer us life, to offer us hope, to offer us forgiveness. And then when Jesus promised us the gift of the Holy Spirit, when he told the disciples that God would send one who would be a comforter, an advocate, a guide, who would direct them, who would bless them, and so that they would know that they were never alone and God was always with them. Because Jesus reminds us of how we are to be the people that God created us to be. Jesus reminds us that we are the ones that are in order to that are created in order to bear the image of God out into the world, to do his will, and to share God's grace with other people. And so our scripture reading this morning builds on that in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. In this part of our scripture this morning, Jesus has been teaching. He's been sitting in a region north of the Sea of Galilee, overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and teaching his Sermon on the Mount, where he's telling the people and the disciples how he believes that the Christian life is going to be different. course, he doesn't say it's the Christian life, right? He says that the kingdom of God will be like, if there are people who choose to follow and who choose to live differently and who choose to live intentionally in relationship with God. And so he's telling us how the kingdom is going to be different. And about how if we truly worship God, our lives would be lived differently. And so then he goes into this portion about worrying, which we've read this morning, where he talks about the lilies of the field. He talks about the birds of the air. He talks about the way that God provides for all of these things and the way that God clothes them in their beauty and in their splendor. And basically what he is saying is, we shouldn't be a people who are consumed with worry because God cares for us. And so he points at things that are very simple. I mean, obviously, a lily of the field, there's nothing that we would do short of plant it and then let it go, right? In terms of watching it grow and flower and do what lilies do. But he says to those that are listening and to us that we have to remember that God created them. And then he points to the birds of the air, and you know, he told the crowd, he said, who feeds these? And then he says, don't you have more value than they do? Because God cares for you. And God loves you. And see, basically what Jesus is trying to get the crowds to see and for us to see is that if God is going to show such care and concern for things that are so small, that are not created in his own image, that are not created to be in relationship with him, if God is going to offer so much attention and concern to them, how is he not going to care in an even greater way for those that he loves? For those that he created in his image, and for those that he has blessed and sent his son and also his, you know, given the Holy Spirit to. See, in the movie, Woody had to be reminded of who he belonged to. It was Yidne, it was Andy, right? And we have to remember that too. And I think we have to remember that in an even greater way, even in this time, where everything that we've known, everything is just so different, isn't it? We have to remember who we belong to. To remember that we are children of God who belong to him through his grace and through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. Because it can be easy for us to overlook who we belong to. It can be easy for us to overlook who we are part of and who we believe in. But we have to remember whose we are, and we have to remember who we are. And that's each of you, you know, name created by God and carrying his name on our hearts. See, God seeks to constantly remind us of who we are to him and to remind us that we are claimed by him. Now, God's name's not written on the bottom of our shoe, because that would spell dog if you all were reading it on the bottom of my shoe right here. But see, God's name's written on our hearts. It's written on our faith. And it's evident to others in the way that we choose to live in response to it, as he gives us his grace and he fills us with his hope. Because it can be easy for us to overlook who we are and whose we are. But today we have to remember that I am God's. Because he created me, he loved me, and he sent me his son, Jesus Christ, to die for me so that I could have life forevermore. Amen.